This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Nestled somewhere in the middle of Orwell's 1984 and Prince's 1999 came 1993. Yeah, and? An exhibition at the New Museum in New York proposes that the year that brought us NAFTA, the European Union, the first web browser, Beavis and Butthead, the Rodney King trial, and whoop, there it is, was a year of flashpoints in art, politics, global culture, and technology that forever changed the way we experience the world. Which year was that again? NYC 1993, Experimental Jet Set, Trash, and No Star is at the New Museum in New York. Margot Norton is assistant curator of the exhibition, which is on view until late May of this year. And Margot, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Great, thank you.
What are some of the other defining events of 1993?
Sure. I think it's sort of interesting to see how many parallels existed between what was happening then and now, but also how far we've come. And there are also many issues that came to the forefront in 93 that we're still grappling with today. Some of the issues are Bill Clinton was inaugurated as president that year, which began the year. We're also in the midst of a recession, so we're not alone in that situation today. We were also at war in Iraq. The European Union was formed in 93. We were undergoing attempts at peace in the Middle East. The AIDS crisis was at its height at the time. Their Rodney King beating and setting riots in Los Angeles. There was a national debates on health care, gun control, and gay rights. Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was formed that year. There was an awareness of multiculturalism and globalism that was very apparent during the time. The internet was actually only 1 year old in 93. The Mosaic browser for the World Wide Web, as we know it, you know, the www dot, right. That was formed in 93, making it a lot easier for the world to function on a global level, which was really the background and source material for many artists that were coming to prominence back then.
It really is dazzling when considered all together. Now, NYC 1993, Experimental Jet Set, Trash, and No Star. It's named for an album by the band Sonic Youth, one of the no wave scene in art and music at that time. What else was going on in the New York City art scene in 93?
Well, you know, that subtitle of the exhibition that you mentioned that comes from the Sonic Youth album, Experimental Jet Set, Trash, and No Star, it is an album that Sonic Youth was recording in 93 after they had signed to the major record label Geffen. There was definitely this tension that existed at the time between what was happening in the underground and the mainstream. Sonic Youth created that title in reaction to many accusations that they'd sold out by doing so. And we picked that title because we thought it signaled a shift between a grittier New York and an art world and a world as we know it, where the underground and the mainstream were more enmeshed within one another.
Uh-huh.
And to be a solid is not so looked down upon. And I think that that definitely was something that happened in music, but also in many of the other arts as well.
Well, in fact, in the art market, it was kind of the end of the excesses and, you know, the prolific art market of the 1980s.
Oh, yeah, and that's certainly true.
Much of the work that you feature in the show and that was debuted in 1993 at the Whitney Biennale was panned and even reviled by critics. So what were the objections to the Whitney Biennial of 1993?
Well, you know, after this economic slump and the sharp downturn in the art market that began in 1990, a lot of artists were turning away from those heady days of the 1980s where there was much success and excess. A lot of the artists were looking at alternative modes for showing their work at the time, apart from museums and galleries. Actually, one of the works in the show, Elizabeth Payton, she had an exhibition at the Chelsea Hotel in New York. People actually had to have a key to on the front desk to view the show. But you mentioned that a lot of work was reviled by critics and mentioned the Whitney Biennial, which was referred to as the political biennial and was definitely panned by critics at the time. It's now actually remembered as one of the most lauded exhibitions and very important cultural turning point. The chief art critic of the New York Times actually began his review by saying, "I hate this show," about the Whitney Biennial, and said that the art was as if pleasure were a sin. There was certainly a lack of painting and traditional modes of art making in that show, which a lot of people were against, as well as, you know, almost a lack of beauty. There was also an unprecedented number of film and video works and conceptual works in that exhibition, which I think also added to that. And a lot of work that dealt with very controversial subject matter, which was hard to take because, you know, of a lot of the issues of the time. So,
yeah, there was Kiki Smith's Nude Virgin Mary, Matthew Barney, nascent digital art, where he was then into his Cremaster cycle.
Right, right, as a satyr. Yeah.
Janine Antoni, Lick and Lather. Now, these were busts made of chocolate and of soap. I mean, yeah. I can't help but think of the almost universally panned Armory show when Americans got their first view of the European modernists. Now, 100 years ago, that was in 1913. Was the Whitney Biennial of 1993 as defining as that? Is this year as defining as that?
I mean, it's interesting just to look back and to see how years like that that were very controversial and shows that were very controversial then become something that defines a moment in time. I know, like you mentioned, Janine Antoni's work, which we have in our exhibition, along with Matthew Barney's piece. And, you know, for Janine Antoni, that piece is actually shown in the Aperto section of the Venice Biennale. So we're looking at a lot of exhibitions that define the time, not just the Whitney Biennial, but also, you know, major shows like the Venice Biennale, but also smaller shows that were happening in New York during that time and not at such a grand scale. And in that piece, she actually created a mold of her upper body and melted down chocolate and soap to cast 14 replicas and then finished each bust by resculpting it, either licking it in the case of with the chocolate and washing it in the case of the soap. And there's, you know, a lot of issues of identity, identity politics and gender politics that were happening then. And this work relates to that. And this idea of the body, there's a lot of bodies that were central to what was happening in 93. And, you know, also this love-hate relationship that many people have with their bodies. You know, the material kind of hinting at the stereotypes of purity in the case of the soap or this allure of the chocolate. You can actually smell the chocolate in the exhibition when you walk down and see that work.
Well, it must be interesting. I know people do start to get nostalgic, you know, maybe 20 years after they graduate from high school or college. And 20 years later, we're looking around. Dr. Martin's shoes are back in again.
Right.
This year at the Coachella Music Festival, Blur, Wu-Tang Clan, Dinosaur Jr., Moby.
Yeah.
I mean, are we back in 1993, Margot?
Well, it's interesting that there's certainly this cycle that happens where what happened 20 or 30 years ago, you know, comes back again into fashion and popular culture. You know, this exhibition is curated by myself and three other curators, all of whom were teenagers at the time and too young to be participants in actually what was happening in the art world then, but was a very formative year for us. So, you know, there is a kind of an element of nostalgia in it, in that we were looking at when we were coming of age and exhibitions like the Whitney Biennial and Venice Biennale and that made a strong impact. And, you know, we call this exhibition a sort of a collective fiction or experiment in collective memory because, you know, we did our best to kind of recall what stood out as what was important that year and spoke with many individuals that were actively involved in the art world at the time. However, this exhibition doesn't necessarily attempt a definitive history of what's happening in the 90s, but instead takes this sort of vertical cross-section form of what was happening in specifically in New York City in 1993. And, you know, like, you know, you were talking before about what happened 20 years ago, you know, we can kind of continue looking back in a specific year and a specific time period will continue to transform and rewrite itself into the future and what happens in trends in the future, too.
1993. Thank you so much, Margot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Margot Norton, assistant curator of NYC 1993, an exhibition now in view at the New Museum in New York City. Now, you can find links to more in the exhibit, including a slideshow of some of the images at wordofmouthradio.org. And we're going to leave you with some of the seminal sounds of the seminal year of 1993. We'll be back with gender-specific Oscar curses when Word of Mouth continues.
My fellow citizens, today we celebrate the mystery of American renewal.
Nachos rule.
Got milk.
Call now for America Online, a new way to use your computer.